just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus, and I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus, and I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Sing it one more time. Say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Let's express our love to him. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you more than anything. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name, God. Thank you, Father, for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come into your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just putting it in our hearts to be here. As we come, we pray that the Spirit of God would meet us, that you would just reveal to us through your word, that you would open up our understanding. Bless the saints that are gathered, those that are still on the way, God, give traveling mercies to those that would join us online. Anoint them, Father, right where they are, that they might hear the word of the Lord. And also those that are unable to join us tonight, look upon them as well. Get glory and honor and praise from our gathering here tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Just quickly turn our Bibles here to Hebrews 10. And just a few scriptures that we will kind of focus on tonight. Let's start here at verse 11 in our reading. And we'll go down to verse 24. It says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God." Now, we actually didn't really hit that hard, but we do understand that it's not that God has a physical right hand. That's not what Paul is telling us here. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So being a spirit, he wouldn't have a right hand and a left hand and things of that nature. So the wording here in scripture, from my understanding through God's prophet, the right hand means a place of power and authority, a position of power. Oftentimes we even use in the English language a person that's very close to us, a person that would probably be able to represent us in a number of situations, we would call that person our right-hand man. So Christ is being exalted, amen, and he's in a place of power and authority. Even when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that right hand is actually a place of authority. Verse 13 says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. And went back to Ezekiel as well as Jeremiah, and we pulled out scriptures to kind of bring that forward. And I love the scripture in Ezekiel when he promised to give us a new heart, a new spirit, and also to place his Holy Spirit in the midst of that. Before he promised that, he said that he would take us from the heathen, right? He would take us from the heathen, and he would pretty much make you a trophy of his grace in the midst of the heathen, right? So we thank God for promises like that. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Verse 19, having therefore, and this is where we'll kind of focus on tonight, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, remember, in Old Testament, they were not able to go into that most holy place. The only person that could go in was the high priest, and he only went in once per year. That was what they called the Day of Atonement. He would go in one time a year, and that's the only time he was allowed in there. But when Christ died, the temple veil was rent in two, and where it was death if anybody entered at that time, now it's death if we actually remain outside of it. And the only way we can go in to that most holy place with God, which is where he wants us to dwell with him, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of having a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And verse 24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. So I'm going to go back here, hit our key statements again, and we actually added a couple more as we're going deeper into this study. So let's just hit that, and then we'll slip over to slide 14 and pick up our lesson for tonight. This first statement here is, if you still have the desire, you haven't been purged yet. That's just one thing sure. See, if you still have a desire in your heart to go out and lust and sin, just remember, my friend, you need to come back to God, back to the altar. Amen. So if that desire is still there to still do some of the things of the world, lust and sin and things of that nature, know that that's a telltale sign that you haven't got, amen, what you confessed. Amen. So you want that thing to be burned out of you. You want that nature to be gone. And let me tell you something. Through the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, God can change your nature. God can change your desires. God can change everything about you. And that only comes through the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. What makes us different, amen, because you have nominal Christians and, amen, you have Brother Branham called them Christians of the flesh and Christians of the spirit. I mean, a Christian of the spirit going to have something on the inside that keeps them. Amen. And that's the only difference, right? It's not just something in the head, but it's something in the heart. And we got to have that true nature change in the heart. Praise God. He says this, now that is the house God dwells in, not a building with a big bell on top of it. See, in the earlier scripture, talked about a body thou hast prepared me. And the body that God wants to live in is our bodies. It says, that's the house that God dwells in, not a building with a big bell on top of it and high steeple, See, but a body hast thou prepared me, a body that God can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in, amen, living instrumentality of God, God walking on two feet in you, glory, amen. That's what we're aiming for. He also says there isn't nothing else that you can do, only believe. And if you believe, then them little immoral things will just drop off. My God, them little immoral things would just drop off. You know, anybody that you hear talking about, well, I can't come to the Lord. I got to get rid of this and I got to get rid of that first before I come. They actually misunderstanding. You know, it's the only thing they can do is believe. And those things that they're trying to get rid of will drop off automatically, you know, once they come to the Lord. Amen. It says there isn't nothing else that you can do. Only believe. And if you believe, then them little immoral things would just drop off like that. As you believe, you become love, and love is God, and you begin to wind yourself into Christ and these other things. You don't have to quit doing them. They just quit themselves. There's just no desire to do it. All right. It goes on to says, now there's many people in the Bible that teaches the Bible as a historical book, which it is, but it's more than a history. It's a prophetic book also that foretells. It tells what was. It tells what will be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also here, and if you talk about one another and belittle some other Christian or something like that, remember you're hurting God. Well, you can talk about me as much as you want to, but leave my children alone. Is that right? I'd rather you just take me out and whip me and beat me and everything, but don't hurt my boy back here. No, he's part of me. Well, that's the way God feels about us. Now, I think we've hit that before, but there will be a little part here that we'll hit tonight. Take us a little deeper, amen, with that. It says, you're looking at the outside, so he's talking about the church building, all right? You're looking at the outside, and what he's saying about the church building, there's many people that when they look at a building, they kind of size it up based on the outside. And if I were to be honest with you, you know, there are people that won't fellowship here because we're in the storefront. They're looking at the outside, right? You know, people that will not visit your church, once you tell them that you're in a storefront, they won't visit your church, right? They're looking at the outside, right? So as you're looking at the outside, what does it make any difference there? What kind of people has it got in it, right? Has it got a people there who loves God, prays to God, worships a prayer meeting and so forth? You'll see a prospering church when you see that kind of people. Yes, sir, not the building. Amen. A prospering church comes because you have these basics, amen, going on. A church that prays, a church that loves God, a church that worships, amen. And again, we're going to hit something a little deeper here tonight about worship. Maybe the next statement or two, something about worship. Worship is not a quiet thing. Amen. Worship is open your mouth. Amen. Worship. Praise God. When it comes to worshiping God, amen, we ought to be just as excited about Christ as we are about some of the things in the world. Somebody score a touchdown mighty can't sit down. Slapping hands, high-fiving, you know, you looking for somebody to high-five. Why can't we do that when the word of God is going forth and it just strike your spirit, right? Amen. You ought to be so excited looking for somebody to high five. And, amen. Praise God. Did you catch that? I tell you what, the services would be different if everybody got on fire like that. You know, do you know at basketball games, football games, things like that, they say that the home crowd actually is like an extra man on the field or on the court. When the home crowd just begin to make noise, it just pumps, you know, the team up. You know, the home crowd is giving them a little bit more energy, right? So, you know, if that in a natural way, if that actually moves the team, what you think gonna move angels here, right? Make the presence of God even a little bit more real when we all get active, amen. Active in the house of the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I ain't talking about getting, you know, fanatical, but my God, amen. Amen every once in a while will do something. All right. It says this, you'll see a prospering church when you see that kind of people. Yes, sir, not the building. All right, go on here a little further. Paul in the 10th chapter of Hebrews trying to explain the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things could never make the comer unto perfect, because God was looking through animal blood, but now he looks through the blood of his son. Perfection come by Jesus Christ. He says, prophet he was. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. He was more than a prophet. He was a prophet plus. And there were many prophets. All prophets died at the gate of death. But this man took the keys, death, hell, grave, like Samson did the gates of Gaza. Took it out, took the sting in death itself, and swallowed up in victory, and rose up on the third day triumph. Makes his believers more than conquerors. All right. A couple more things here I want to bring in. Hit next for me, please. It says, now, I'm not perfect in your sight. You may not be perfect in my sight. But what about in God's sight? There is where it lays. And if you're born again into the body of Christ, then God looks upon you as perfect as Christ was himself. Amen. Okay. Now, this is kind of going into where we're going to hit tonight. When the scripture said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, notice the statement. It says, provoke there means to encourage. Encourage one another unto love and to good works. If you see a brother in church that's got something against the other brother, don't say something to stir that thing up. I want to read that again. If you see a brother in the church that's got something against the other brother, don't say something to stir that thing up, but say something that'll bring them together. Provoke one another unto good works and to love is what we must do. Praise God. All right, another one he says, most, I hate to say it that way, but it's true that the most people that can profess Christianity, they seem to have such a hard, struggling time to hold on. I believe it's because of a lack of correct teaching of the Bible. There's no such thing as holding on. He done the holding on. The whole Christian principle is based upon rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Don't have to worry and struggle. You're just resting. If you haven't reached that part yet where you're just resting, something's wrong. Amen. It's not supposed to be a struggle. Glory to God. Man, it's so hard to live like a Christian. No. The scripture actually says that the commandments of God are not grievous. It means they're not hard. And what happens is that we have to fall in love with Christ, where it just becomes a part of what we do. I've shared the story many times of the lady that was married to her first husband. He just always would tell her, you know, do this and do that, and do this and do that. She had a list of everything that he would, you know, just write down and tell her to do. Well, he passed away and she got remarried. And when she got remarried, she was like, wow, you know, this second husband, he never tell me none of that. And one day they happened to be cleaning up in the house and she saw that old list that the first husband had for her. Like, this second husband never tell me do this and do that and do this and do that. And she realized that the reason that he don't tell is because it had become part of her, right? From the first marriage, it had become part of her. It was just a part of her nature to do those things, right? And what should happen is that loving God should just be a part of you. It's part of your nature, amen? It's not something difficult, amen, for you to love God. Praise God. You got your eyes dead centered on him. You may make mistakes, but you repent quickly and you keep moving on. But you're not in church desiring to be in the world. Amen. Something wrong somewhere. Glory to God. All right. He goes on to say this. Christianity is not something. God's not one you have to beg and cry and plead and fast and starve and everything like that to get to. Certainly not. Says, I'm not degrading the fast, and we'll get to that hopefully a little bit later on. But notice he said God, and what people do is they use fasting to try to make God do something. I want to just make sure we understand you can't make God do anything, right? God does what he wants to do when he wants to do it, right? Fasting is not something where we use to try to, you know, to invoke God, but it's just something where we, it should draw our hearts closer to him. That's really what fasting should do, just draw our hearts closer to him. And like I mentioned before, when we go on a fast with God, that's when God is actually having a feast with us. Amen. Praise God. But it's not something where we're going to try to, force God to do something because we're fasting. It doesn't work that way. All right. Okay. I want to slip over to slide 14. As we're going there, I want to just read Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 21 again. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Amen. And remember, the only way that we can come into that most holy place is through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As we just go back to the slide there, a couple of things that I want to just kind of share with you as we're pulling that up. Brother Branham preached from these scriptures, Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 21. There are a number of sermons that he preached just from that, those scriptures alone. One of those sermons was called A Hidden Life in Christ. Right. Another is Why Are People So Tossed About? And another is The Intervail. We'll read a quote on that a little bit later on. The Intervail. So some real powerful sermons that the prophet brought from Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 21. A statement that was made here. And I think what we're going to hit here is sometimes, again, as believers, if we don't know who we are in Christ, if we don't realize what the blood of Jesus has done for us, how the blood has made a way for us to come into that most holy place, then Satan will actually block us with mind battles, amen, where we'll never go all the way in and really have true fellowship with God, right? We have to understand that, amen, once our sin is under the blood, then it's under the blood. God does not remember it anymore. Now, the key is make sure it's under the blood. Make sure that you've repented of it, right? That you've placed it under the blood. But once you've done that, God doesn't remember it anymore. You can't come and confess your sins and then turn right back around and go back out and like, I did this. I didn't. No, you didn't. That's been forgiven, right? You can't have a wishy-washy life like that. And in order to enter with boldness, you have to know that you've been forgiven. Amen. You got to know that you've been cleansed. You got to know that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have to know those things, that you did exactly what God required you to do. And now you can come boldly into his presence. Amen. All right. Look at this. He makes a statement. If you go by a church and everything is just dead and still, I don't know. But he makes a noise, He lets the people know that God is still on the throne. He's talking about the priests going into that most holy place. He has, and we're going to read scriptures on this, but he has those bells tied at the bottom of his garment. And when that man is going to that most holy place, he's making noise. Hallelujah. Amen. And if the priest back in the Old Testament was going into that most holy place making noise, Brother Branham's trying to bring it around to show us that when we come into the presence of God, it should be some noise. Look at it. He says, but he makes a noise. He lets the people know that God's still on the throne. God answers prayer. People still have the Holy Spirit shouting the praises of God, glorifying God, making a lot of noise. The congregation say, well, he must be around here. This is a live place. When we go into the holiest of holies and claim to be Christians, there's got to be some noise made. Oh, my. When we go into the holiest of holies and claim to be Christians, there's got to be some noise made. And I don't mean a lot of nonsense. I mean some real, true noise. Hallelujah. Amen. The prophet certainly lets us know what should be happening inside that most holy place. Which, I mean, God's doing something. Amen. Even the scripture tells us that, you know, when he does something well for us, we ought to make known his deeds. Right? We're supposed to testify what the Lord has done. Amen. We're not supposed to just keep it to ourselves. Well, I didn't want to say nothing. What you mean you didn't want to say nothing? You've been praying for that, and God has answered your prayer, and now you don't want to say nothing? You know, how many times do we pray, ask God to do something, and forget? I mean, he actually does it, and we forget to go around and tell him thank you. No, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Amen. And can I tell you something? When God has done something for you, nobody should have to beg you to get up for testimony service. You ought to be, you know, when we going to have the next testimony service? I got something I need to share, right? I mean, it should be that way all the time. Glory to God. We ought to be making some noise for what the Lord is doing. Amen. You know, the testimony is not for you, right? When you're sharing it, it's not for you. That's to encourage somebody else. So God does it for you, and you don't know who needs to hear that. So, but don't ever be ashamed. I mean, hands ought to be quick to go up. Sometimes we wait to see. I'm going to wait to see who else going to go up. What? Maybe God ain't did nothing for them. But if he did something for you, stand up and testify. Amen. Hallelujah. I know y'all get tired of seeing me. Oh, you're just going to have to get tired of seeing me. I mean, I'll tell you what God has done. I prayed and God did this. I asked God that God did this. I'm here to just go give him glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, church. I mean, when we get into this most holy place, it's got to be some noise. It's got to be some noise. Hallelujah. All right. Let's read a little bit on this. I'm going to slide 14 and starting here with this sermon, The Unpardonable Sin. It says, but a man once put his hands, put his hands on the head of Jesus Christ and confessed his sins, feeling the pains and agony of Calvary. What sin? What he had to pay to redeem a man from sin. And the Holy Spirit out of the blood of Jesus Christ comes cleansing that man. He goes out a new creature, and it's once for all. He goes out a different person. He goes out with all the sin problem settled forever, for by one sacrifice, says the scripture here, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he said, the Holy Ghost bears record of the same seed, that one sacrifice forever, he made his offering, given his own life, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we have a high priest sitting in the majesty of God in the presence of the great creator, making intercession upon our profession. Then said here in the 19th verse, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, think of it, no fear. That's the greatest plague there is in the Christian church today, is afraid. And the reason they're afraid is because they're not taught right and settled right on the gospel. Listen, no reason at all why this little place, I love how he just put this, no reason at all why this little place here couldn't be a beehive of the power of God. I know you talk about Branham Tabernacle, but what about Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, right? It's no reason at all why this little place here couldn't be a beehive of the power of God. And when they call things a beehive, I was looking at the definition. It's an active place. It's a busy place, an active place. You know, I tell you what, we've had God just heal the sick here. And I think if we were sharing our testimonies with different people, this place will become a beehive. And remember, we've been taught right. You know, you can tell a person that's not even a Christian, you can come get prayed for, you, that we will pray for you. Now, and the only thing is, now, we believe God will heal you, and you don't have to be a Christian to get healed. But if you want to keep your healing, then you have to become a Christian. Amen. It could become a beehive. Oh, my. Listen. Look, this no reason at all why this little place here couldn't be a beehive of the power of God, buzzing with the glory of God, flying from everywhere. This little old hole in the wall here almost is known throughout the entire world. This little spot you're sitting in tonight because not of William Branham, but because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And a gospel that they've contended for, no, sir, I had nothing to do with it, not at all. It was him who did it and made the place known throughout the world when it was nothing but a little $1,500 structure or something like that fixed up here with no floor in it. But it's God Almighty who does those things. We have boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, not the old way, by a new and living way. That was the dead way, an order of law. But now we enter by grace through the Holy Spirit. Oh, I hope you can see it. Nothing that you can do. The law was works. Touch not, handle not, taste not, eat no meat, keep Sabbath, new moons, all forms of worship, what man did. But in this new and living way, it's nothing that we can do. It's what he does for us by grace. We just accept it. Christ takes away the sin. We believe it. Hear the gospel. Believe it. Accept it. And then if we truly accept it from the depths of our heart, God gives us the Holy Ghost as a witness. Then the Holy Spirit witnesses to you that your sins are gone and you're dead to the world. You rise in newness of life to walk a new life, to live a new life, to live in the power and the presence of God, not to be carried about with everything no more, but to walk after the Spirit as sons and daughters of God. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Let's go on a little further here. Let's look at this law of grace. Amen. This quote, it says, and then the congregation, the only way they know. Now, if you went in there not dressed exactly that way, he'd have died in the door. He'd never come out no more. So he's talking about the high priest and how he would go in to the holies of holies. Now, let's do something before we let me hit a couple of scriptures here. Let's go to Exodus 28 and verse 31. Exodus 28 and verse 31. This is where we understand how the priest is supposed to approach going into that most holy place. Exodus 28. Amen. All right, it says this, and thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof it shall have a binding of woven work around about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a harbijan, that it be not rent. All right, so now the way that this was made, it was not supposed to be torn. And I want to just point out to you that when the high priest in Jesus' day was questioning the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he tore the garment. So when they even put Jesus to death, the high priest broke scripture in order to put Jesus to death, because they were not supposed to tear that garment. All right. Here in verse 33, it says, and beneath upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth into the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. So now when the high priest went into the most holy place, he made noise. And this is what Brother Branham's trying to get us to see. We go into that most holy place today in Christ, it should be some noise. Amen. You ought to be thankful that you even have the opportunity to come into that most holy place. Amen, with Christ. All right. And the last verse says, thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engravings of the signet, holiness to the Lord. Now, the other thing, it might be in the quote that I'm getting ready to read, but when he did make noise, every step that he took, his first step, it said holy. The second step said holy. The third step said holy. Everything he did said holy. And I like that, because not only when you come into the house of God is it holy, but when you leave church, holy. When you go to school, holy. When you go to work, holy. Everywhere you go, holiness to the Lord. Amen. Let's look at this. I told you all about how the high priest tore that garment. Go to Matthew 26, 63. Matthew 26, 63. And you'll see where the high priest did this. He broke scripture, even in trying to put Jesus to death. Matthew 26, 63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ of the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes. Now he tore his clothes. All right. Rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. He wasn't supposed to do that according to Exodus, but that's what he did. He broke the scripture to try to, amen, even at the time that he was bringing Christ, a condemnation to Christ. So they broke scripture to do that. And there was other scriptures that they broke too. And the scripture say, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. They had witnesses that did not agree, and they still took those words. I mean, everything was against Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at it like that, sometimes you might feel like everything is against you. But it's okay. God's going to work it all out for your good. Amen. Let's keep on reading here in this quote. Law or grace? Law or grace? It says, and then the congregation, the only way they know. Now, if you went in there not dressed exactly that way, he'd have died in the door. He'd never come out no more. He died in there. If he didn't go in dressed and anointed to go in, now the only way the congregation know whether he was right or not. Oh, my. The only way the waiting congregation know whether the high priest was right or not, they heard the noise of them bells. Oh, my goodness. Can I just tell y'all, amen, sometime we come to church, the way that we know whether everybody's right or not is we hear the noise. And when we don't hear the noise, we know something's wrong. Hallelujah. Because anytime we come into the house of the Lord, we should hear the noise. Amen. Listen, the only way the waiting congregation know whether the high priest was right or not, they heard the noise of them bells. There was a noise in there, and that's the way they know whether he was right or not. I wonder if that same thing works today. If you go by a church and everything is just dead and still, I don't know. But he makes a noise, you know. He lets the people know that God is still on the throne. God answers prayer. People still have the Holy Spirit shouting the praises of God, glorifying God, making a lot of noise. The congregation say, well, he must be around here. This is a live place. When we go into the holiest of holies and claim to be Christians, there's got to be some noise made. And I don't mean some lot of nonsense. I mean some real, true noise. Says, now watch here. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, not the old law, when he was reconciled through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw nigh with a true heart and with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. That just takes it all out. Oh, my, I like that, but I guess we have to close. But when we walk up before God, let's not go saying, well, now I just wonder if everything's all right. Are you a Christian? Well, I hope I am. That's no way to come. Brother, believe the story, accept it, and be born again. Then walk up with pure faith, knowing this, that God has promised and God can't lie. God promised me eternal life. If I believed on his son, Jesus Christ, I believed it, and he gave me eternal life. I made many mistakes, still make them, will always make them. But when I make them, the Holy Spirit tells me that's wrong, then I repent right there. Lord, forgive me. Didn't mean to do it. You help me now. And I walk right on the same thing, because just no sooner than it goes from my lips, if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive them. You realize that? No sooner than when that confession comes from your lips, God is right there to forgive you. My God. He's just to forgive them. Is that right? Hallelujah. The devil say, you know what? I'll tell you, you were supposed to go do a certain thing. You didn't do it. Uh-huh. You sinned, didn't you? I say, I confessed it. Well, I tell you, no, don't talk to me. See, that's where you got to talk to the devil. No, don't talk to me. No, sir. I have perfect faith in he who told me. If I confess my wrongs, he forgive me. So I confess. Just go on away from me. I don't care nothing about you anyhow. So just keep moving on. Walk boldly right on into it. If death lays there, that's all right. Move right on into it with a perfect faith that God has promised that he'd raise you up at the last day. Yes, sir. That's how we enter God. We got to come with boldness. How we enter into this most holy place. When our sins are confessed, don't hold your head down any longer. Amen. Because God's not holding against you. Hallelujah. Soon as you ask for forgiveness, he's there to wipe that thing away. Thank God for that. All right, let's go on to this next one here. Verse 22 to 24 said, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The prophet just kind of shares here and I just love this so once we know that our sins are confessed, then we can come boldly before his throne. And the one scripture I did want to just go back and get a reference to, where it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession of what God has done for you, how he's already washed you of your sins. And I remember a time I was at home praying. And while I was praying, Satan just kind of come to me right there in the midst of my prayer time. And he was just reminding me of everything I did wrong. Everything. You did this, you did that, and the reason that your prayer ain't really getting through is because of this, because of that. And you know, and when you start having thoughts like that, it actually begins to block you from going further into your prayer. You're ready to just kind of give up on the prayer, like God is not going to hear me, so I might as well just forget about it. And as I was just sitting there kind of going through that, the Holy Spirit gave me a quick vision of the blood, right? And when I saw the blood, I saw how the blood had washed away my sins. And if the blood had washed away my sins, there was nothing that the devil could hold against me, right? Because God wasn't holding against me. It was the devil trying to do that. So since I knew God wasn't holding against me, I got a revelation of what the blood did, and I was able to enter into that time of prayer, get my breakthrough, and get everything I needed from God at that moment. But it was the devil constantly trying to bombard my mind with all the things that I did wrong. I was so glad I got a breakthrough. But we need a revelation of what the blood did for us. Look at this. Look at this. I want to go back to Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Let's go there really quick. Just a reference scripture. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Amen. Hallelujah. It goes on and says, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. All right, let's go. I got a couple quotes here that I want to read. Amen. On this. And sit next for me there. This here it says, to know Christ is to know life. That's right. And I don't care. I might not know my ABCs, but I want to know Christ. That's right. I might not know all the theology, but I want to know Christ. I might not know about the president and whether he's a good man or bad, but I want to know Christ. That's right. To know Christ is life. That's right. To know the president and to know this one other is prestige and knowing celebrity and stuff, but I don't care about that. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, knowing that we have this night a high priest sitting at the right hand of God and his majesty there making intercessions. Then I want to hold fast that profession. All right, here's a couple quotes that we'll read on this. Again, coming out of the message, well, first one come out of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, listen, watch, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and open before his eyes to him, whom we have to do with. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, listen now to the sick that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast, that don't mean just keep testifying. If you don't live the life, you don't hold it fast, you're living a hypocritical thing. You better be on out and just say you're a sinner and forget about it. Don't profess a Christian, live something else. You're the biggest stumbling block the world has ever had. If you're a sinner, admit it and get go on and get right with God. If you're a Christian, hold fast your confession. Stay there. Now, I like that. If you're a Christian, hold fast your confession, but if you're a sinner, admit it and get right with God. Right? That's it. Don't be a stumbling block to people. You realize that is a big stumbling block when you're professing to live one way but doing something totally different. You actually hinder people. You hurt people. Amen. Glory to God, and God will hold that to your account. If you're gonna live it, live it. If you're not, don't play with it. Amen. All right. Let's go on here to Law of Grace. We'll bring it to a close here. That's right. The mist will begin to flow before my face. Perhaps the doctor run in and say, well, Billy, she's all over. Oh, my, no, that old black chamber sitting yonder and a heart beating, going right into it. I don't want to go like a coward. I want to wrap myself in the robes of his righteousness, knowing this, that I know him in the power of his resurrection. And someday when he calls, I'll come out from among the dead and live again forever. To know Christ is to know life. That's right. And I don't care. I might not know my ABCs, but I want to know Christ. That's right. I might not know all the theology, but I want to know Christ. I might not know about the president and whether he's a good man or bad, but I want to know Christ. That's right. To know Christ is life. That's right. To know the president and to know that this other is prestige and knowing celebrity and stuff. But I don't care about that. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Knowing that we have this night a high priest sitting at the right hand of God and his majesty there, making intercessions, that I want to hold fast that profession. Listen here now. Now we're going on. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful who hath promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Provoke there means to encourage. Encourage one another unto love and to good works. If you see a brother in the church that's got something against the other brother, don't say something, stir the thing up, but say something that'll bring them together. Provoke one another unto good works and to love. That is what we must do. What is that? That's a man that's born again. If you, my brother, tonight don't feel that way, when you see your brothers falling out and sharp words between one another, if you don't feel like bringing them together, it's your time to go to the altar. If you don't feel like bringing them together, ain't talk about them, what they feel like. Talk about what you feel like. Because you're in the middle of it. If you don't feel like bringing them together, it's time for you to go to the altar. Look at it. He said, that's right. There's something happened in your life. There's something you've been deceived in. You haven't the experience that God wants you to have. But Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again, and was spoken evil of, he spoke not back again. And when they done evil to him, he turned and did good to them. When they persecuted him and nailed him to the cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If that kind of spirit's not in you, the Holy Ghost has never entered you yet. Lord, help us, God. If that kind of spirit's not in you, the Holy Ghost has never entered you yet. For that was the same spirit was on Christ Jesus. The Bible said, let it be in you. Christ is in his church. All right. And he goes on to say this. It says, now, Branham Tabernacle, you bunch here, we don't have an organization, don't have any sign cards or so forth. The only thing we have here is fellowship, and you are fellowshipping in Jesus Christ with us tonight and fellowshipping every night and every time. We're always happy to have you here. We want you to be here. You don't have to join us. Only thing you have to do is come worship with us, and we expect every one of you to hold the true mystery of God in your heart without wavering. Come to the worship and come to the altar and so forth. And love one another and be in harmony with one another. And if you see a brother getting out of the way, go to him and be reconciled with him if you can. That's right. That's what we got to do. And friends, if you what are you doing? If you don't do that, you're only making yourself a miserable creature and not a Christian. Notice what he said here. If you see a brother getting out of the way, go to him. Right? He's saying you go to him and try to see if you can be reconciled with him. Because he said, if you don't, you're only making yourself a miserable creature and not a Christian. That's something, church. I'll tell you what, this is one way to keep the devil out of the church. I mean, and we got the seat. Honestly, the devil used the same tricks over and over and over again. Offenses. They use that same thing over and over again. And sometimes it's not a person actually trying to do it. It's just the devil in the midst of it. Right. And if the devil can get in, just get this one, you know, not talking to this one, that one, not talking to that one. And that thing just starts just growing and growing in church. And like I told you, you know, you sometimes you go tell us, well, yeah, so and so did me this way. That's why I don't really have nothing. You know, I don't really have nothing to do with them. Now, when that conversation comes to you, your response is supposed to be how to get them back together. Your response is not to be, well, if they treat you that way, I ain't going to talk to them either. What you did was just actually add fuel to it. Amen. Right? But your response like, no, come on, that's your sister in Christ. Both y'all been washed by the blood. I mean, God done brought y'all a long way. Let's try to get this thing worked out and keep moving on. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the more we get this church full, the more offense is going to come. Y'all ain't hearing me. The people, we praying for everybody. And I'm going to tell you, and I want to see it full. I got family members. You got family members. I want to see them all here. But you know what? When them family members come, somebody going to get offended with somebody. And it's up to you that you don't take that thing personal. When your daughter get offended with somebody else's daughter, oh, my. Don't take sides. Don't do that. Just, no. I mean, I tell you what. Most of y'all here, I've known y'all for a long time. Most of y'all, I know you for a long time. And so I'm not going to let nobody just kind of come from left field and just kind of accuse you of all kind of stuff. And I done known you all this time. I know he ain't mean it that way. I know she ain't mean it that way. That'll be the first thing come out my mouth. Amen. And as new people come, you got to give them an opportunity to get to know you, just like you've gotten the opportunity to know everybody else. Don't create fences, walls, ostracize people. Everybody talk about where we going to fellowship outside after church, and you intentionally don't tell this person over here. Come on, y'all. You mean we ain't grown that much yet? Come on. Y'all think heaven going to be like that? You think in heaven you're going to be going to somebody on the side talk about, well, yeah, I don't even know how they got in here. No, the question be how you got in here. You still got that on you? Amen, church. Come on, it's time for the church to grow up. And we got to start somewhere. And I'm going to tell you that the easiest way for it to start is just let go of fences. Just let them go. Let them go. If you know, you kick a dead man, he won't say ouch. He won't do nothing. Amen. We got to die to these things. Look at it. If you see a brother getting out of the way, go to him. Be reconciled with him if you can. That's right. That's what we got to do. Friends, if what are you doing? If you don't do that, you're only making yourself a miserable creature and not a Christian. That's right. And all that you're doing is in vain. Then Jesus say, in vain you worship me, teaching the doctrine and commandments of men. Say, well, I joined the church. I put my name on the book. I did these things that don't have one thing to do with it, except a man be born of water and spirit. He will in no wise enter the kingdom. Amen. All right. I'm going to cut it there. I will again mention to you that when Brother Branham, you know, preached on these scriptures, Hebrews 10, 19 through 21, and also we're even kind of going into verse 24 there, the hidden life with Christ, that would be a good sermon to go back and listen to, a hidden life in Christ. Why are people so tossed about? And the intervale, I-N-T-E-R, veil, the intervale. There's a quote that I was going to read from the intervale. I won't read it tonight. Maybe I'll just save it for next week or something. We'll see about that. But I do want to end right there. And let's just have a word of prayer. And if we could, we'll just go ahead and cut our recordings. Amen. At this time. All recordings are cut.